Just give the average Joe an insight of what's it like playing at this level.
Friday night's always been a personal favourite of mine. You've got the long weekend. Everyone's just wanting that release, that stimulation, just to watch a macabre sport of gladiatorial confrontation. And you feed off that as athletes. Like, you love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Oh, it's my favourite podcast of the year. We get to talk about Super Rugby Women's. We did these podcasts last year and a few years before. I'm joined with Nathan Williamson by my side, and I love it's so good to be back. I'm sorry we missed the opening round, everyone. Shit's been happening. We've been busy, but how good Super Rugby Women's is back.
We're both just spinning plates at the moment, but yeah, after round one, we couldn't miss it. I mean, and as a Waratahs fan as well, it's one of the sort of better comps to watch in terms of, because I love having a team that's just dominant. It's great. It's a great feeling. I rock up to grounds, we'll turn on the TV and just know they're going to be incredibly competitive at any game they play. So I love it.
So we'll quickly address the elephant in the room before we dive headlong into these special episodes. Why didn't we show up in round for the opening round and do a preview like all the other podcasts? Well, I think probably the short answer is, as Nathan mentioned, I mean, we do this as our day job, and our priority is probably trying to do write multiple different articles, big, massive news. I know, Nathan, you were traveling up and down. You went to the launch as well in Brisbane. You've been doing some traveling. So shit's been happening for us the last few weeks. So
let's not hide it. We're just misogynists at heart. That's it. That's why we didn't do it. That's just the problem. We're just misogynist, aren't we? No, of course not. Like, as you can tell, I mean, in all seriousness, like, me and Nick have had, like, if you look at the articles that have come out, like, you can quite clearly see how passionate we are about Super Rugby Women's. You know, I think between the two of us, I think we've probably got comfortably half of the articles out there, probably ours. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd say so. I think I did. How many did I do last week? I think, oh, God, I lost track.
Stupid of me. Between us and Mr. Scrumbags himself, Lockie Gray, like, we've our two websites are probably one of the better ones, probably the best in terms of championing the team and championing the competitions. And this is kind of also a way of us doing it, being able to sort of go on a pod like this and just sort of talk about how good round one was and sort of look at the season ahead.
I also want to shout out Hugh96 on the Raw, Hugh_96, who's also been pumping out content on Super Rugby Women's. Hugh, keep it coming, man. Like, honestly, we actually really do love talking. Yeah, we really, really love talking about this comp, and as many people as possible talking about it, we appreciate it. But regardless, we are here, and we're going to basically do a whiz bang. We're going to talk about the opening round. In the interim period, also kind of mention some key points that we're excited about each respective team, and then we're going to preview round two, which will be kicking off this weekend, which I think, and this is my first crazy hot take of the evening, Mr. Nathan Williamson, this is probably going to be the biggest round in the competition's history so far. Would you agree? I know. I'm eager to see it.
Let's get to it. Let's leave it as a teaser. I'm interested to see your logic behind that, but yeah.
Indeed.
After round one like that, yeah.
Well, as usual, we kick off this podcast with Nathan's news roundup. We usually do a left field question, but I think the left field question has been nullified by our explaining that we have to do. So, Nathan, once again, because it's going to be Super W themed, is it not?
Yeah, it's going to be a bit shorter. Super Rugby W. Let's also make that clear. Super Rugby W. If we slip up, we apologise, but it is Super Rugby W this year, in line with Super Rugby Pacific. So, again, let's try at least we do one thing with this pod, let's sort of train people to sort of get back in the sort of idea of calling it Super Rugby W or SRW.
SRW. Thank you to Michael Atkinson for pulling me up on Twitter. Atko knows. So shout out to Atko for reminding me. But yeah, look, remember everyone, Super Rugby W or Super Rugby Women's. Nathan, you have a minute. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your time starts now.
All right, let's start in Perth as the Force Asia wiggled their way to a lead before Rosen again went Titanic and sunk the Rebels' hopes. Sheree Hume High sprinted away to seal the win for the Seal at Sea of Blue. in Sydney before the Brumbies marched Stuart. They were in Piper Duck as the Waratahs blitzed the Brumbies at home. Maya Jamis slammer her way through the line for a hat-trick as Tatum Burr's words sealed the win at Allianz Stadium. In Queensland, Tiana Mick Malloy had the Reds laughing alley with a try for Teresa Timimalalu got the drawer on the board. The visitors flew home from here as Wasega Sonic the Hedgehog raced over the line to collect all the gold rings for the defending champions as they sealed another win in Ballymore. We now head to round two as the Brumbies host the Melbourne Rebels. Grace Alexander Hamilton starts at number eight again as Ash, master of all positions, starts at inside centre. The Fiji host New South Wales Waratahs while the Western Force take on Queensland Reds. And I ran out of time.
Yes, you did. You did run out of time. Bang on. You pretty much were back. Like, my little buzzer went off right at the last
second. I could
just
tell. I got through to, like, the team list, and I could tell. I'm like, I'm not going to have enough time here. Let's just try and beat the buzzer. So apologies for the other two. I had puns ready. We might say them later on, but time is important. I got there.
Here is your opportunity. There'll be an opportunity for you to keep infecting the buzz, your pun game throughout the Dropped Kickoff podcast.
I'm also very proud of the rhyming slang of before they Maya Stuart, they were in a Piper Duck. people can kind of realize what they were saying, Piper Duck. People can kind of put two and two together what I meant, but
yeah, it's it's the triple slump, the fun of rhyming slang and craziness. We should get you to do an English podcast. We're a podcast where we can only speak in Cockney rhyming slang. And see if we can and puns and see if we can get away with it.
I'm down for that. I can do it. I want to see you and Nick Hartman do it and see how wild we can get it.
It'll literally just be like, you know, Austin, that one scene with Austin Powers in Goldmember where Austin and his dad are talking to each other in front of American girls to mention naughty things. That's how it would go down.
Gambridge.
Let's dive headlong into round one. And of course, as mentioned in the top of the news section, the Western Force played the Melbourne Rebels at HBF Park in Perth and prevailed 36-12. And I think it's a very interesting game and very reflective of where both sides are. I think the Rebels, we've had Dylan on the podcast at the top of the year, and he mentioned very much how much that the Rebels are very much a side built from a lot of that local talent coming out of the Linroth Cup. And that talent was definitely there. It was definitely on show. It wasn't, you know, the days of much earlier in the competition where it was a bit of one-sided affair. The Rebels were there. They were aggressive. They were physical. And I know that they've been trying to address, you know, with grabbing the likes of Ashley Masters, Grace Hamilton into that team to try and kind of build out the thing that I think they're probably lacking, which is experience, just those really experienced heads. But then you come up against this Force side, and I mean, we've been talking about how much the men's team has been recruiting. Wait until you get a load of the women's side of this Western Force side, Nathan.
Oh, it's stacked full of internationals, isn't it? When you look at the pack, I mean, someone like Natsuki Kashiwagi, a prop, just dominated scrum time. You have a Canadian hooker and Sarah Klein, or Klin, solid. Like, Kiwi sort of internationals throughout as well, Kiwi's experience. You know, even with it, and you've got someone like Mac Leonard with another year of experience as a Wallaroo and a Wallaroo captain, like Trillium Pomeroy at 12. There's just so much. Not only that, it's just the depth they have as well. You know, someone like Pierre Tapsell coming off the bench, who's already signed for, I think, Cronulla in the NRLW. Renee Nonna, who's got, you know, Queensland experience. Samoan International has been put into the starting lineup for this test match. That's, I think, what the Force were missing, that sort of depth in behind those people. Like, they had the talent. They had the big names like your Leonards and Pomeroy's, just didn't really have anything to sort of go with them. They've now recruited incredibly well. And again, showing what happens when you invest in the program, been able to recruit some, you know, seasoned internationals and some really classy players. So you've got this team which is just incredibly stocked up and ready to cause some damage in this competition.
Absolutely. And additionally, I mean, I think it's also important to recognize that there's good local talent that's been thrown in there as well. I mean, the names that you and I have flung around, Samantha Wood is a big one that comes to mind, as well as Tamika Jones in the loose forwards. And I think, you know, we've seen them already push for the already featured quite a bit, and you can only see those guys growing and growing and growing. But contrasting it with the Rebels a little bit, I mean, there is so much to like about this Rebels side. There's so many experienced. There's a lot of players who have played together. Even though the scoreline did suggest that the Force really ran away with this game, it was actually a very competitive match. It's really, really positive to see that. I mean, they're clearly trying to kind of recruit smartly, but also locally. I think the big one that I really absolutely loved last year was Mia Ray Clifford, who a veteran from AFLW, who has a boot that is insane. Like, her boot is ridiculous. I was watching her kick and go, she should actually be in the Wallaroos, because even though she is an older player, like, her boot is insanely good. Can kick it from anywhere.
Really classy. And then when you add people like the big one, Grace Hamilton, bringing her back in just casually, one of the most experienced Wallaroos, coming back from Montpellier. And the sort of, as I sort of alluded to in that, Ash Masters, who was playing front row, I think, in Montpellier, now back in the centres. She's living out the front rower's dream of going from, you know, straight from packing down scrums to second or third receiver, just stepping people and palming off, throwing off loads, just doing all the business. Like, she's a marvel of a player.
Mm, absolutely. I do see that the Rebels are trying to add in a bit more experience. I mean, and they do have actual players outside of Masters and Hamilton. I think the first that comes to mind is Fijian international Giovanna Salto. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's the prop who packs down in the front row. She's actually going to be moving. I think she's moving into the starting side for this upcoming weekend as well, an international who played France, Bobo, as well, who also is playing, playing as well, in kind of giving, should actually serve as a good complement to the likes of, to other players in the loose forwards, where the Rebels look like they have a decent amount of depth. As a quick question on this game, but also where they're going, I mean, where do we see these two teams kind of falling this year? I mean, judging not just from how we talked preseason, all of them had a pretty decent trial campaign, but also just how we think they're looking, how we think they're tracking. And of course, we kind of have the benefit, having missed last week, that we get to see how they go in this opening round. Where do you see these sides finishing at the end of the regular season?
That's an interesting one, because I mean, we haven't seen these sort of teams play for a while. I think the last time was, it might have been 22 or I think it might be, I must have missed a game in 23. I am missing a game. It was 13-5. The Melbourne Rebels, like, it's a good squad. There's quality around. Even getting someone like Samantha Treherne back, all of a sudden just come out of I'm not sure if she retired. She just come out of sort of the woodworks and all of a sudden starting for Rebels this week. Like, there's quality here. It just feels like this team is almost the Western Force of last year. Like, has all the big name pieces, but not the depth in behind it. So can absolutely go and upset one or two teams, but I think you're probably going to be fighting for that fourth position, and there's some quality teams around that fourth, so I don't know where that sort of leaves them. As for the Force, that was a big show in intent. Like, they've shown they can put a score on a team and really sort of grind them out. Like, it'll be a test. This will be the sort of test this week against the Reds, but this is absolutely a team that should be competing for the top four and, you know, contesting with some of the sort of premier teams in this competition.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think in my head, for success for the Melbourne Rebels is a win or two. Actually, looking back, I don't think they've won a game since 2020 in this tournament. So, considering what they the depth and the talent they have there, I just think, you know, I don't see them challenging finals. It's, again, a depth issue. But I do see them winning some games. I do see them upsetting some teams and causing headaches and asking a lot of questions. So, I actually have the Rebels as finishing, and I know Rebels fans will go, no, how dare you? But I see them finishing kind of near the bottom of the ladder, but not for lack of talent or potential. It's just the fact that all the other squads have just they've been recruiting insanely well, and a lot more than the Rebels have. Which is interesting. It's very interesting to note that Super Rugby W is kind of being seen as more of a draw because there's players from everywhere in this tournament this year. There is Fijians, there's Samoans, there's Tongans, there's Canadians, there's Americans, there's French players. They're everywhere. There's so many female players who have come into this competition. So it's just simply a case of the fact that all the other sides have recruited so well to really up the level of this competition. The Force, and here's my hot take, and it was quietly published on the Raw, and nobody noticed it, and I'm amazed that nobody has noticed it. I see them finishing second. They're recruited that well. There's how many internationals have they got? This weekend, I mean, I've looked at the squad. They've got three internationals who are set to make their debut off the bench. Just off the bench alone, the Western Force do. They've got depth for days. I think there's even some Black Ferns in there as well. So I see them asking plenty of questions of even the best sides. And we'll get to it, but that's a point I want to bring up when we preview this coming weekend.
It's a good squad. But continuity is key.
That's the challenge.
Throw those girls into a squad and, you know, there's talent stacked across the board, but you're going up against, you know, teams like your Tars, your Druids, your Queensland Reds, which are, let's face it, I have the probably similar levels of talent, but have been together for a long time. So, will it surprise me if they run second? Probably not. But do I see it happening? Nah, I think they're still probably your fourth best team in the comp, but a dangerous fourth team. I will say that.
Look, that's the key question mark. It's the continuity question. I see them considering how they've looked in trials, considering how they've looked in, in some of their games and even how they kicked off the season. I can see them doing it. It's my dangerous hot take, similar to the Drua finishing in fourth, which right now is looking absolutely terrible. But, hey, hold that space. It's only early in the season. The next game that was played was... God dang it. 45-10, the New South Wales Waratahs winning over the Brumbies in Sydney. Get that smile off your face, Williamson. Get it off. Get it.
You called me harmonizing.
I nearly did, didn't I? Yeah, I know. I was like,
that's him.
But unfortunately, I think it was a good contest before the Waratahs ran away with it. I know the Tars are desperate to win that trophy back. They sure looked like it. They looked very motivated. They looked hungry. Stewart grabbing a hat trick. Insanely good player. It's good when you have a Wallaroo out on the wing. Of course, Piper Duck, the captain. But then also a whole bunch of other players who I thought also really stood out very well. I mean, should we talk about Ellis making history?
Ellis tying the record.
Yes.
They went back to the record books, tying the record, not breaking the record. Let's make that clear as well. But for a 16-year-old that can come on, has such a magnificent left foot step.
Looked great. Insanely good. She was so good. How fast she is. Just insane.
Reminded me of Kirtley when he sort of first took on the line. Just the way, the poise she has, she's always looking to sort of try and beat that person. I mean, just light on her feet. Really, but it's one of those ones. Once she sort of grows into her body a bit more and sort of gets used to professional football and, you know, goes through that whole system, she's going to be amazing. And none of that, you talk about sort of those Wallaroos, someone even like a Skye Churchill, someone who's probably been sort of behind a lot of those Wallaroos, those back rowers and second rowers in the past. She was amazing. She just, that first try, I think it was the first, second try, she just absolutely palmed someone off, raced away, and just basically set it up on herself. It was a great performance from not only, I think it's 14 Wallaroos in that squad of 23.
Yeah, it's a lot.
There's so much there, but not only do you have that, you have the quality, as you sort of mentioned, the quality behind it is now starting to step up and sort of understand what's needed to, win titles, and it's a scary thought for other teams.
I think we saw some of the numbers last year in terms of actual continuity and cohesion. And I think if you go check out Gainline Analytics, I believe they do a whole bunch of data. They unveil the sides that are the most cohesive sides. And I think the Waratahs, the New South Wales Waratahs women's side was might have been the best Australian side, just in terms of. Yeah, they were in. They were really high up. I mean, I think the Crusade. It wasn't the highest team, like Super Rugby team overall. I think the Crusaders were number one, unsurprisingly. But in terms of actual continuity, it was they're insane. And even saying that, when you've got that depth for days, it is hard to beat. But even the Brumbies, I mean, they've got seven Wallaroos in their side. They've got a couple of Fijian internationals as well, who also play quite well. I think they've even got a couple of they're doing a partnership with the Japanese side as well. And I think they even recruited a couple of other Waratahs as well to come down and play for them. But, I mean, yes, they made semis last year, but they were really, really blown off the park in the latter half of this game. Maybe it's just a case of just running out of gas in the last probably 15 minutes or so of the match, because at the 55, 60-minute mark when they scored that try to get themselves back in, it looked like an interesting contest. And a real thriller on our hands. They got a tough draw this season, the Brumbies do. It's going to be a very tough draw. But, I mean, do you see them still making finals?
It's going to be a tough one, isn't it? I reckon they're the sort of team that's going to be competing with the fourth for that final slot. Like, that's going to be, I reckon, the game that decides it. Because there is quality, and, like, they were still in the sort of Waratahs 22 a fair amount throughout that game. It was just a case of the execution not being there when it needed them. So, plus, I look at that sort of game. It's a final, I think it's the final game of the round, or one of the final games of the round at Viking Park, Brumbies, Western Force. That game's probably going to be the one that decides who ends up being in the final. So, it's just going to be a case of who ends up with a sort of best form heading into that game, I reckon. It's going to decide who's fourth.
Are we in agreement that we think the Tars are going to top the ladder, or we think the Drua will be a contender, or even the Reds?
I mean, Drua will always be a contender, particularly with sort of this week's game being in Fiji. Like, that's a tough task, but there's too much class. The only thing that will go against the Waratahs is, I hope it's probably been announced by this. Actually, no, I've definitely reported on it by now. Em Chancellor's out for the season, did her ACL. Like, you could see it when she was setting up, I think it was Piper's first try, sort of step back, straight down. Fair play to it. Like, the guts to not only sort of keep playing on, but throw the sort of decisive pop to duck the score was, again, incredible toughness. But that's a huge loss for him. And, you know, slightly offset by the return of Caitlin Leaney. It's a nice sort of return, but the form M. Chancellor was in last year was incredible for the Wallaroos. Like, she could have been named Player of the Year and no one would have batted an eyelid. Like, so that's going to be a big sort of hole to fill.
Yeah, it's a big loss for the Wallaroos, especially this year. With I think their first four out of their first five matches are all at home as well. There's the World 15 competition as well. So, and you know, it's going to be a very competitive season for the Wallaroos, particularly with a new coach to impress. Final game of last week, and a good time for us to talk about I don't want to say the two wildcard teams, but the teams that, I mean, they made the grand final last year with the Queensland Reds playing the Fijiana Drua at Ballymore at the end of it with the Fijiana prevailing 32-21. Quite a good contest this game. I really, really enjoyed it. Definitely the match of the round for the opening round of the weekend. Absolutely terrified of the Fijiana's wingers. My God. They are going to – I was just saying it. If they win this tournament for a third year running, it's going to be because of them. They were insane, huge, fast, massive. Some of the people were saying some of the commenters were saying, like, God, the 15 for Queensland is having a tough, tough time of it, or good luck trying it. This will be the toughest defensive lesson you're ever going to have. Because they were absolutely on fire. But Queensland, there were a lot of positives to take from this game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it helps that you have a 15 who is dead set crazy in a great way. I love Laurie. Laurie is Laurie. That's the best way I can describe her.
It's a great way to describe it.
If you get a chance to listen to a podcast with her, she's one of the funniest, if not the funniest person in rugby. She's an amazing person. But yeah, no, the Fijian wing is just insane. Like, Nervosa and Milan. Yeah, pronunciation is terrible. I'm a writer for a reason. Both of them just dominated. And just whenever they needed sort of that break or just that really sort of key spark, they were just there to sort of torch the sort of Queenslanders. And, you know, like you look at 32-21, it's closer than that for the majority of the game. And Nervosa trying the 77th kind of just blew it out. But, yeah, the Fijian side, really tough sort of first hit up, but, again, looked quality. But, again, can't take anything away from the Queensland Reds. And like while we're talking up sort of young talent, we talk about Shalom Suaso, or Suaso, the centre that came on and just absolutely just killed him. Like, yeah, 16, another 16-year-old. Freakish. And again, someone absolutely watch. Because she will, if we can, we speaking as a co-perspective, can keep her in union. She will play for the Wallaroos. She'll play for the Australian Sevens and the Olympics. She's that good. She's amazing. Yeah. And I think it's a 4 o'clock game on Saturday, East Coast Elite time. Watch her start against the Force this week.
Yeah, she'll be
5 o'clock, sorry. 5 o'clock.
Yeah, in the starting side, she is indeed. There's so many good, I mean, there's 13 Wallaroos in that Queensland side. So they've got the firepower to win a title. They can do it, but it's really a case right now for Queensland of so close yet so far. They've made the grand final 5 times and have lost. It's insane that they haven't come away with a title yet. In so far, it's criminal. It's going to be the sweetest drink of water after the longest drought ever when Queensland lift the title. They do have a very tough opening, couple of weeks. I mean, they're playing the Force in Perth. They will be hosting the Brumbies back at home, but then they're on the road as well for the closing stages of the tournament. I mean, I still think another talent we wanted to mention on top of those 13 Wallaroos is the other player who you highlighted to me, Werreto, who kind of lit up the Youth Sevens competition last year, who, again, absolute gun of a player. Just really, really exciting to see. I still see them. It would be insane to see them out of finals. They're definitely going to be in the running at the end of the year. Similarly, the Drua. It makes sense that these two sides are going to be there. And if last year proved anything, the Drua scraped into fourth place and then won the title. Insane. It would be, you cannot write them off at all. And I think probably the big difference this year is that we're being back-to-back champions. There is definitely a target on their back.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a bit more turnover of talent and stuff like that. So that's what they've got to deal with. But yeah, the thing with Fiji is you just find, I just find, keep finding talent that's just amazing. Like getting a lot more sort of recognition back home. There's a lot more sort of, not press, but a lot more fandom behind them that's only going to spur them on these home games. Like if you, let's get sort of, you can never write them off. And they're so easy, can easily drag you into the game they want to play. And I think that's been a sort of Waratah's problem in the past. And they just get drawn into how the Fiji want to play, how they sort of like to dictate pace and, you know, that constant flow of offloads and, you know, quick plays. So I think that'll be sort of the key towards, I think the Waratahs are the big chance and the main chance of actually knocking off Fiji. And it's going to be how efficient is Fiji at sort of managing that style, not only this week, but probably when they meet in the semi or final, to sort of if they can go and do a three-peat.
Well, look, I think last year proved anything, finals is an open question completely with this competition. I definitely see them making both of these sides making finals at the end of this season. There's just so many questions that need to be asked. Add to the fact that I think the Drua, I mean, they've got the rougher end of the draw. They've got three games on the road, two at home, similar for Queensland. I think I see the Waratahs still topping the ladder because they're sitting on the more favourable side of the draw. They've got more games at home before we even get into the depth and continuity that they have. There is a lot of question marks. There's a lot of questions to ask. Let us dive into the preview for round two this coming weekend. Bringing this to a close, we have kicking off the Brumbies playing the Rebels in Canberra on the Friday night as part of the doubleheader there. And then on the Saturday, we have a bumper day. And here is why I'm going to say to you, Nathan, that I think this is going to be probably one of the biggest weekends for Super Rugby W in a long time. Western Force hosting the Queensland Reds in Perth. fantastic clash with depth galore. You've got the Queensland Reds with their 13 Wallaroos, a whole bunch of exciting new talent, up against a Western Force side who has recruited insanely well, not to mention the established Wallaroos they have, but other exciting players as well. Playing at home, which should be fantastic. Again, as a doubleheader precursor before the Reds Force game in Super Rugby Pacific. Final match, Fijiana Drua are at Lau Toka for the first time, coming up against the New South Wales Waratahs. I think we're going to see a crowd record at that match. I reckon Fijian fans will turn up in force to support that side as part of a doubleheader with the New South Wales Waratahs, similar to the Super Rugby Pacific game of the men as well. But the women are playing after the men, so I guess you could call them the headline act. They are the headline act of that at Lau Toka. This should be an absolute banger of a weekend. That Saturday is nuts, those two games. Nathan, where do you see these games going?
Like, they are finals quality games. Like, they are unbelievable. I mean, let's start with Canberra. I think the Brumbies will be too strong. Like, I think they were, again, scoreline doesn't reflect how competitive they were. Rebels, again, will be better with sort of another week under their belt. But, yeah, we give it to the Brumbies. Boy, this Waratahs Drua game, just take your pick. Far out. it's a dead set coin flip. I think the Waratahs just have enough. I will always say that. So, that might be a little bit biased, but I think they'll be up for it. I think there's been just a little bit too much of a turnover in the Drua roster. A lot of these Waratahs girls have been playing together through, whether it's Jack Scott Cup or, you know, through trials, but they've looked strong. Like, I reckon a lot of emphasis would have been put on making sure this game goes their way. So I'll back the Waratahs in. And, yeah, I mean, Reds and Force, that'll go down to the wire. It's all about sort of in those clutch moments, who do you back? I think I back, you know, you have Doherty and Dallinger as your halves, Kramer at 15. There's a lot of international experience there that can really make a difference. They just might have enough so late in the game, just to sort of make the difference in the end. Oh, and someone coming off the bench called Liz Partu, played once or twice for Wallaroos, you might have heard of her. So I think that'll just be enough for them. Just a few times.
See, yeah, look, I mean, I definitely agree with you about the Brumbies over the Rebels, as much as I think that I have a feeling the Rebels are going to target this game, probably because, you know, it's a game that they see, okay, maybe this is the place where we could spring a surprise. They came very close to beating the Brumbies last year, and I think they've drawn them once or twice as well. So they have got a better record than you might expect against the Brumbies. I back the Drua. I don't know what it is. I back the Drua this weekend. I think it's just the simple cold fact that Fiji are a different beast at home. They're a different beast at home. They play like players possessed in front of a Fijian crowd. And I don't know what it is. We've underestimated the Drua enough now, and I anticipate in front of a big packed crowd, they're going to be up for this game. Similarly, in Queensland, in WA, this is when I said that I think the Force are gonna be, you know, can finish second. This is the game I'm talking about. They have to win this to actually make that possible, because they pull off, they knocked off the Drua last year in Perth. A lot of people forget that they actually beat the Fijian Drua last year, one of the side that went on to win the competition. Considering they have a lot of international experience coming off the bench, it's the key question of continuity. But I can see them winning this game at home. And I definitely think they're a better shot than how the men have been playing at the moment. So, Force fans, make sure if you get down to that game, like, you are not going to be disappointed by how good that Western Force Queensland Reds game is going to be. Straight up,
get behind them. That's the sort of key. You've got a team that can dead set, as Nick said, make a top two finish here. It's your right to get behind this team and get them home in the end.
You owe it. Let's do it. All right. We're done and dusted. Short and sweet. We'll be back for another Super Rugby W podcast discussion in the next little while. Nathan, cheers as always. Thank you, listeners. We'll catch you the next time around.
We've got another week to get back on the horse and take that horse to the water. And you can ask that horse. You can say, hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink or do you want to swim? Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
Give myself an uppercut.